Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to be with you. We are in Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verses 5 and 6 this morning. Hebrews 11, 5 through 6. In verse 5, we read, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." This is God's word. Well, this morning we look at the faith of Enoch. We started last week looking at these characters in Hebrews 11 with Abel, the faith of Abel. And as I pointed out last week, when we come to these characters in Hebrews 11, we have to remember some things about them. These are not perfect people. And we approach them and see them as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are those who are redeemed from their sins by faith, just as we are. These are people of like passions with us. And as we look at them, we need to keep them in the proper perspective. As I mentioned last week, when we watch the Olympics, we're thoroughly impressed by the athletic ability of those Olympians in their particular field as they engage in that particular contest. And we don't feel like we can really reach them. We don't feel like we can measure up to them. They feel far above us. We never really expect to be like them in that regard. But the people of Hebrews 11 are not like this. They are much like us. They are weak and broken people, but they were saved by faith. They lived lives of faith. They are models of those who look to God in faith. And these people were great. The world was not worthy of them, not because they themselves were great, but because they looked to a great God and a great Savior, just as we do as well. And as we look at Enoch, we see here this second person mentioned in Hebrews 11. Enoch is a very unique individual in Scripture. This is the first example in Scripture, and one of the very few examples, of someone who was spared the pains of death and went to be with the Lord. There are very few people in Scripture who get a pass to heaven without going over the river of death. And that in and of itself should draw our attention to Enoch and ask the question, what's going on here? What is unique about Enoch? Now, the original account of Enoch is found in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And beginning in verse 21, it says, "Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." That short little account in Genesis 5 takes place in the context of this big genealogy, and it's the only character that is called out and described as to who he was and what happened to him. Clearly, Enoch was a very unique individual in his day. And you'll notice it says twice in Genesis 5 that Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? Well, we see a similar description of Noah in the next chapter of Genesis, Genesis 6, 8 through 10. It says there, "Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God." So Noah here is described in a particular way as blameless, as a righteous man, and one who found favor, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he walked with God. So what does it mean to walk with God? Well, I'll give you my definition based on some of these descriptions. Walking with God means a faith-filled fellowship with God, evidenced by great love for God. And of course, we know that love for God is seen in the obedience to his commandments, right? This is what Noah did. He was a righteous man. He was blameless. He kept the word of the Lord. This is the fellowship, the walking with God, the walking along with, talking along with God that is characteristic of the life of faith. And Noah was only a blameless and righteous man because he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Why was Noah blameless? Why did Noah or Enoch walk with God? Because of God's mercy to them. That is the only answer we can give. And Enoch is said to have pleased God, it says in our verses here. And then verse 6 gets to the point that the author wants to tell us about. He's trying to teach us about faith in this chapter, and his teaching moment is in verse 6 of Hebrews 11 here. It says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." What this text tells us is that faith is the absolute indispensable ingredient for pleasing God. We cannot do it without faith. If our works are not united to faith in Christ, then we cannot please God. Romans 14:23 tells us whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There's no exceptions to that rule. Faith is necessary. And that faith has particular content to it. It has a particular elements that go into it according to this verse. It says there's two things that faith consists in terms of content. It says, first, you must believe that God exists. That seems to go without saying, doesn't it? You must believe that God exists. But there's more to it than that. It's not just the belief that God exists. There's many people that believe a God exists. But that this God has a certain character, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. These things must both be present for there to be true faith, united together. Faith that God exists, but faith in a certain God, a particular God, the God of Scripture who reveals himself as a rewarder of those who seek his face. He is a gracious, loving, merciful God that delights to give rewards to those who come to him. This is our God. And these rewards that we receive, we don't come to God believing that we deserve them. We confess, just like Jesus presents in the parable of the unworthy servants, that after we've done everything we can for God, we are still unworthy servants. And of course, we all know quite well, we don't do everything we should for God. Even if we did, we would still be unworthy servants, he tells us. The reason we receive these rewards is because of the gracious, giving character of our God. He gives to us freely. If God, who did not spare his own Son, will he not freely give us all things without price? So what are the rewards we're seeking? What is the reward? What are we looking for? What do we desire as those who walk with God? When we think about rewards, it can be easy to immediately think in terms of carnal desires. What do we want? What do we want for ourselves? For the Christian, seeking the reward is not about getting our carnal desires fulfilled. That's the thing we've been trying to get rid of for years and years, and we're fighting that battle. What is the reward? Well, there are many benefits to the Christian life. There are many blessings to the Christian life. But the greatest benefit, the greatest blessing, we must always say, the supreme blessing is the fellowship and communion we enjoy with God. Fellowship with the triune God is the greatest reward. This is from Psalm 73, 25 and 26. These are the words of a heart on fire with the right desires. Psalm 73:25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." This is the desire that we should have. This is the great reward. You remember when God was speaking to Abraham, He had promised him these blessings. You will have a son. There will be a nation that will come from you. You will have a land that is your inheritance. But he says, Abraham, fear not. I am your great reward. When John, the Apostle John, describes the glories of the new heavens and new earth, the very greatest thing that he can describe beyond the city of gold and the beauty of that place is the fellowship between God and man. Revelation 21, 3 and 4, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The life of faith we live right now, brothers and sisters, in walking with the Lord is that precursor to the greatest thing we get to enjoy, eternal communion with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we come to God in faith, we must believe these things that have been described, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek his face, seek the reward that he offers. And seek God with joy. As Psalm 73 says, there's none on earth I desire beside thee. God is my exceeding joy, as another psalm says. Those who come to God in faith, God will reward with the greatest gift and reward of all, fellowship with him. Amen. Let's pray. O God and Father, we thank you for these great promises that we have in your word. We are thankful for the example of Enoch as one who walked with you, who received such blessings, who was spared the pains of death, and who has enjoyed eternal fellowship with you. And we pray, O Lord, that you would forgive us for desiring the things of the earth much more than we desire you. We ask, O Lord, that you would help us to remember the necessity of faith as we seek to do your will. May we do all things by faith and remember that without you we can do nothing. We pray, O Lord, that you would draw our desires to the great reward that you have given, and that in the trials of life that we would believe in the character of who you are in terms of what is described here, that you exist and that you reward those who seek your face. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.